The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Here we are once again. Great Monday. Your host, Melvin Prince Jonigan. The show was called Life's a Gamble. And I thank you guys for listening to me once again. So now, this is a special Monday. My co-host is on her way, Wanda Walker. She's about 5 minutes away. But we also have a special guest for you. And let me just, if I may... This is unscripted. How about that? So we don't get into the script or unscript. This person here has, some years ago, I produced my first book. I'm now at 15. And she took the time to read it. And she read it front and back. And then front and back again. And then she highlighted it. And she had said, wait a minute. Is all this stuff in this book true? And I say, well, you know, you have to go to the people who the book talks about and see if they would refute the book. And they did not. And years later, the CEO and the CFO has been indicted. And they both are or soon to be incarcerated. And so in Philadelphia, we have let things go. We have turned a blind eye. And it was the great journalism from this person that at least gave me an opportunity. You know, I say, when I'm angry and when I'm mad, I write and I produce a book. And the book is about the anger and the devastation in the black community. And so the only way I can speak towards that is to write about it. And so lately, we've been devastated, and yet no one has bothered to really care. We've been misled. We brought a president in here. We brought him to a church. It's on video. We raised a bunch of money, gave it to him. And so when I say we, I'm not talking about Democrat and Republican. I'm talking about us as a people. This is the first African-American young Republican show, but I'm still part of the total system of a people. You know, I know what poverty looks like. I understand it clearly. I understand that poverty most has to do with systematic poverty. Like, I'm not hungry by choice, I'm hungry by design. I've been heavily subsidized, unable to learn the skills and the trade, and then I wind up too old to do those skills and those trades. And so this right here, what we have now, is an opportunity to share. And this young lady, and I call her young, I have a tremendous amount of respect for her, and it was an outcry when something had happened that changed her life and it changed our lives. And so now I get a chance on my show, Life's a Gamble, to talk with her and take a few minutes of her time. And I took a few minutes to give her the flowers now because I know she's going to do great things. And so to my listening audience and to my co-host, I would like to present you Andrea Lawful Sanders. Miss Sanders, good are you morning. There?
I am. Good afternoon. You are the first person that I'm talking to since this debacle happened 15 days ago. So it just goes to show that all the years of my being at that other station and listening to you and the others have really borne fruit. So I'm grateful and I'm proud of you. I'm listening to you. You're tempered. You're doing all the things. All the things. I love it.
Well, we thank you. And once again, I'd like to thank you because I called and I thanked you for your humility on how you handled a senior. Most folks have seen him as the president of the United States, but he was aging and his cognitive skills were not there. and you took the time to hold his hands and to help him. And I regret it that folks seen that as anything else but the support for a person. And I asked some of my my co-host, I said, so if she had ran questions down his back and had went at him like people wanted her to go at him, then who was going to protect her? Because this man still sits as the president of the United States.
There you go, Quinn. and it was irresponsible journalism to scream or treat him as anything other than respecting the office that he was in, right? Yes. And so I did what I knew to be correct. And quite frankly, no one has fussed or complained about my interview skills with him except one person, and we're not going to go into that right. on the air. You know, I believe that the interview that I did with him was befitting the office and befitting that he was an elderly statesman and that he was trying to explain why he fumbled in the original debate. And so I will not ever take that back. I think that this interview will go down in history as one that was done well. And that people were able to hear him and understand him now. You know that yesterday he stepped down as the presidential nominee for 2024
yes.
and that he endorsed Kamala Harris. And so, you know, we as a country, Democrat, Republican, as people, we're going to have to figure out what happens next. What I think, Prince, and this is just me talking to you, was rubbing so many people wrong was that I spent a lot of time listening to Republicans, hearing their side of the story, trying to understand why they felt the way that they did. Because even though I was not trained as a professional journalist, I behaved as one. And so I always gave room to everybody who had an opportunity, who wanted to speak, to share their story, to share their story, right? I could not be seen as someone who was, you know, taking sides, and I never was.
Right.
And so people were stunned when I was able to get the Republicans on the air with me to have conversations because they understood this was not a gotcha moment. This was my seeking to understand so that everybody else could understand too. You understand what I'm saying?
You know, and I got to tell all my friends who call here, the Maurice, the Georges, mm-hmm. those guys, mm-hmm. say this is a home on Monday from 2 to 3. You can consider this mm-hmm. home. You know, and once again, you know, you can land here. You ain't got to go far. You can land right here because, you know, I don't know if anyone else who has the opportunity to be bipartisan as well as get the information to the people from both sides. No one else has had Bruce Castor on. No one else has had Michael Vandeveen, folks who've represented yeah. the president, sitting president yeah. with his legal battles. You know, no one else yep. has had folks like a Johnny Doc come on and have right. a conversation. And so I think it's just irresponsible and selfish for one to say, we're all one group. We're all one party. We're all one initiative. And yet, yeah. and yet when I go to the Union League and I go to the cigar room, I see Democrats there. I don't see mm-hmm. Democrats that try to hurt other Democrats. I see Democrats that claim and profess to support only Democrats mm-hmm. in a Republican place drinking cognac and smoking a cigar. And so, you know, I appreciate you. And the book has done well. Just wanted to let you know that.
I still haven't gotten my copy back from my friend who took it and marveled and never gave it back.
well, we are a couple books in now. And we're going to,
yeah.
from this opportunity, we're going to reward you with another one. So don't worry about that. I have a few folks who are in a city who I knew wanted to just say maybe one or two questions. You got time to stay on the line while I bring Viola on.
Sure.
But, yes, hello. This is Prince, and welcome to Life's a Gamble.
How you doing? Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Miss Viola.
I just listen. I'm calling to let you know that I'm missing you, love you. And yes, I have voted for a Republican before because my cousin, yeah. Greg Fuller, when he ran for Register of Wills, mm-hmm. he was not able to win the seat
right.
without changing mm-hmm. his party.
Right.
But mm-hmm. I voted for him in the general election. And I voted the rest of whatever I wanted to under the Democrat line. So it's, you know, it's something that we can do easily when we are registered properly and we know that it's very important to vote.
So, Ms. Viola,
if you were running, I'd be voting for you.
I know. Ms. Viola, I wanted you to ask Andrea a couple of questions. There's some questions that I'm not going to ask because, you know, this is my time and this is my show. But
is
I know the listening callers was unable to reach to ask her some questions. So if there's any, it's a two question. I don't have a limit, but I want other callers to ask her questions. Right now, you're the only one on the line. So why don't you ask her some questions or see how she feels? Because, you know, she's done so much for me. She's done so much. She's listened. And I'm only a product of the other place because I had a grandma who listened. And I had a my mom who listened. And we, you know, my dad was a longshoreman, so when he got up in the morning at 4:30 in the morning, this you know, Reverend Bigelow was coming on at 5:00, and so
that's right.
And so we listen, and so right now, a lot of people's spirit is disturbed. And I remember the day after whatever had happened that Monday, you know, we all agreed that it was a sad day in Philadelphia, you know, and so. You know, to Andrea's point, you know, she wants to heal. You know, she wants to heal all of us. You know what I mean? That's why I call her mother, you know. And so, but to the extent that some people have not had a chance to ask a question to her, she's here right now. What two questions would you like to ask Andrea?
Okay. I would like to know, when are we going to hear you on a live broadcast somewhere? And, what's going on? Mister is doing great, you know. And how is the rest of your family doing?
So, Mister is doing well. The rest of my family are doing well. They're Jamaican, so you can only imagine how they reacted when all of this stuff unfolded. It wasn't pretty. I will be back live somewhere soon. I am working it out now with my team. And in fact, I have quite a few offers in front of me, so I'm trying to decide which one. But here's the thing that sticks out for me that I think I can share right now. I had a conversation with Sharice Ifax last week. We're thinking of looking at the Bayou Lounge and weekly having some of the listeners from the other station come and join us and sit and talk and, you know, talk about what's going on in the city, what's going on in the country, et cetera. That part we're working out now, and we'll be able to do it. But I have some good stuff coming. Don't worry. You will hear my voice again. It's kind of hard to mute someone who has been the voice of her community. When I say I love you all, Maurice will tell you from Southwest, Miss Viola, I call him to check on him.
You got me calling on people. You know what, Andrea, you gave that lady in front of the McDonald's a gift the other day. Was on your Facebook page.
Yeah.
Earlier that morning, I went down to the corner from my aunt's house at 52nd and Cedar, got a cup of coffee, and the gentleman says, Miss, I don't want any money, but could you possibly help me buy a sandwich? Mm-hmm. I had a $10 bill and 5 ones and a 5. I paid for my coffee, which was $2, and you had no idea what I was doing somewhere else. And I just turned around, and he liked my smile. He said, oh, wow. He said, boy, oh, boy, what a smile you have. And I just smiled back to him, and I said, thank you. But I gave him the $10 bill. The man started, he started crying.
Yeah.
He started crying. He said he's been sober for 10 years. And I tell you, I just never know what I'm going to walk into.
Well,
but I just thank you for being able to lay some of those things on us that some of us may have never done before.
I was just about to ask, what did you all learn from me in those 4 or 5 years? What did you learn from me?
Okay,
right?
I'm going to give you a chance to answer that, Ms. Viola. I got a minute before I go to the next caller. But go ahead, I want you to answer that. That's a good question, too, Andrea. I think everyone should leave with that question. Also, Andrea, today, I always ask everyone, are we rolling the dice or are we passing them?
Come on now. Come on.
We rolling them, right?
You know I'm rolling them. Yes.
Ms. Viola.
I gave before I met Andrea because my grandmother always said nothing goes in because nothing comes out. And she pulled her fists up.
Right.
And so I did that. And one of my great-grandsons, we gave a man some money on the corner down at City Hall. And my grandson said, I said, because many folks don't give black folks money.
Mm-hmm.
He said, oh, well, my mom, can you go back around? I got $3 I can give them. I said, no, what I gave him is sufficient. I said, but, you know, we see someone else, we may. But see, I taught my great-grandson a lesson right at that time if I gave this man something. The man down there at the expressway going to the airport. I bring him some clothes or some shoes, and I give him money also.
Well, Ms. Viola. But
whereas it's just so good to be able to give because we never know who we're going to meet along the way.
Well, two things. One, my mom said, you stop giving when God stopped giving you. That's one thing. And then I want to introduce you to my co-host, Wanda Walker, who is down, mic'd up, and she's headphone up, and she is here. So, Wanda, say hello. We're gonna move Miss Viola off into.
I thank you for being there, and Andrea, I just love you.
Hi, everyone.
Oh my gosh,
you too. Thank you, my sister. Hi, Miss Wanda. How are you?
I'm doing just great, and I know you're doing fabulous.
So now I'm gonna go to the next caller. I got Miss Nancy Wilson on the line.
Yes.
You're on the line with Andrea and Wanda Prince. Walker and Prince. How are you?
How are you doing, Andre?
I'm good. How are you?
You know I don't call radio. I think you knew that. I told you for years. But I always listen to you every morning. And I truly miss you. I really do. And I got a chance to, because I do listen to Prince since he's been on. And but I was surprised and nice to hear your voice. You doing all right?
I'm doing all right, Miss Nancy. Yeah, I'm doing all right. Thank you so much.
And
I'm
going
to figure out a way to get back. They're fine, Miss Nancy. Everybody is fine. They're all doing well.
Good. I have a lot of things going on that I don't talk about because. Don't talk about it, but I really, truly miss you.
I miss you, too. But if you leave your name, your number with Prince, I'll call you. I'll call you and talk to you.
Ask her that question all that right? You asked asked Viola, Andrea.
Oh, what did Miss Nancy, what did you learn from listening to me for the last 4 or 5 years?
Oh, well, I learned a lot of things. What I learned also, how you help people. The doctors you gave. Hey, and I did go to a couple of them. I got an appointment with the chiropractors. I haven't made the appointment yet, but I call and talk to them and everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I have a lot of situation on how to get around since one of the things that happened to me, person is in the nursing home now, so it's a long story about that. With dementia, I can't get over that. And I lost my, in April, I also, when my brother passed away, and so I know what you talk about when it comes to death and stuff in April.
That's great, Miss Nancy. We have Maurice on the line, and we have 1 minute to go, Andrea.
Real fast, Prince.
Yes. Go ahead.
I want to know about your book, and where can I get it, and what is the name of it?
So my book is called Philly Roulette, and because you called into the show, you know, I'm going to do a three-book package with you, so you don't have to worry about paying for it. The first one is Philadelphia Roulette, The Gamble That Failed. It speaks clearly about how politicians and big-name people should not be in a systematic approach to poverty because they think that the wealth that they've accumulated will buy us out of poverty, and it won't because it's a systematic approach to the dollars on how they fund poverty, and we need their support, so they should come ask us first before they snatch us off the plantation only to be hunted down and put back on.
Oh, yeah. Well, this city, I don't know. It's the people run the city.
But if you're listening, what you're going
to
do
I
is...
I would give you my phone number so you can... I'll give it to you off the air.
No problem. The producer, take the number. Andrea, can you hold on a moment? We want to take a break, and on the other side of the break, you'll hear Wanda introducing Maurice. Okay? The Blind Prophet is what he's called. Thank you very much.
Ladies, have you ever felt bloated for no good reason? Pelvic pain or pressure? Too full too fast, even if you're eating just a little bit? Not so unusual, right? But if you have any of these things and they go on for 2 weeks or longer, see a doctor. Because bloating, feeling too full too fast, and pelvic pain or pressure that doesn't go away can be signs of a gynecologic cancer, like cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer. And if your periods are heavier or longer than usual, or you have bleeding after menopause, see a doctor right away. It may be nothing, but find out for sure. Learn the symptoms. Listen to your body. For more information about gynecologic cancers, call 1-800-CDC-INFO. That's 1-800-CDC-INFO. A message from HHS and CDC's Inside Knowledge campaign.
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up. Know when to walk away.
Go ahead.
Know when to run.
I am now introducing Maurice the Blind Prophet.
And Maurice, you're on with Andrea.
Yeah, what I see is I'm listening on the phone to the fabulous Wanda Walker. Of course, you, Melvin, and of course, Mother. Let me tell you something. This is the conference call of love right now. I'm on right now. I'm going to tell you something. These two people that I'm talking to on the phone are all special to me. So, I'm loving this call. And your guest here as Mother. What I love about Mother so much is Mother actually reaches out to people, sometimes not physically, but mentally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know people in nursing homes or at home alone or somewhere in the distance, but guess what? When they hear Mother on the phone, they stop whatever they're doing because they know that she's genuine and the love is real. And you don't get that on radio too much. And that's what makes her a difference from anybody else. And you want to talk about what I've learned?
Mm-hmm.
I learned to reach out more myself. And it doesn't matter what party in or what color they are or what religion. Mm-hmm. I stop, I listen, and hear their point of view more than I did before because everybody has something to say, and I want to listen to it.
So, Maurice, are we rolling the dice today or are we passing them?
Oh, we rolling the dice today because I'm tired of losing.
You're tired of losing?
We rolling the dice.
You're going to roll with your own money. So, Maurice, it's understood how you feel, but there's two questions that you would like to ask Andrea. What two questions would they be?
Well, one of them she said can't say right now. I want to know where she's going to be next.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, I want to ask you, when you first got here to Philadelphia, were you always showing the love like that? Because it was new to people here. You had people who didn't listen to talk radio stop and listen because they felt the vibe. From the first phone call, they hear your voice, they knew this woman was genuine. And were you always like that?
So, yes, I was always like this. I've always been this way. Helped a lot of people in Montgomery County, so I'm very well known in Montgomery County, but didn't know a lot of people in Philadelphia. So I got on the other radio station in 2019, but I had been on WWDB with Michelle Lawrence, and I had been guest hosting with Chris the Flood, the Drummer Norris, on that other radio station. And so I had always been this way, but when I got on as a host, Maurice, I knew that I had to learn, right? I had to learn from all of you. So when I got the call from you, would say, Marvel, go over so-and-so and so. Marvel, go over to Southwest Philadelphia and see where the place is flooding. Prince and George would call me and say, Marvel, meet us at Mathematics, Civics, and Science Charter School. We're going to show you something. Marvel, come over here so we can hear. I began learning about all of you by listening to you and sitting down with you about the things that mattered. And interestingly, when I first got on the air, they said, those George, Maurice, Prince, the three troublemakers, right? Don't let them come. Don't let them take over the phone lines. Don't let them talk their heads off. Don't listen to them because they don't know what they're talking about.
Mm.
But let me show you what I know for sure.
Mm.
Maurice, Prince, and George were the three people that helped me to learn about this city in a way where I literally was able to move back and forth, right? And to talk to people and to listen to them and understand what they were going through. No one else took the time.
And you were the ones that galvanized the folks to make sure that I was always okay. I will never forget the three of you. I won't. I just won't.
How you feel about that, Maurice? Awesome.
Well, let me tell you something. I've been in this situation because I've lost my sight of being in a nursing home, being in the hospital, being home alone.
Yeah.
And when she talks, you feel the you feel like she's in the room with you. That's the big difference that other talk show hosts got to learn. And she reaches out. If you have a problem, she takes the time, and she's a busy woman, and finds a way to give you the information or at least contact you and not make a promise that they know they're not going to keep. And we love her for it, and that's why she became such a phenomenon. And I'm going to stick by that.
Well, Maurice, we appreciate you. Wanda appreciates you. And once again, you know, when we have this show right here, we don't shove the fact that we are Republicans down your throat because we are issue-based. We are balanced. You know, sometimes you got the other side that speaks about what they do and what they're going to do. And then you have to have checks and balances because you have to say, okay, you said you were going to do this, but it's not done. And so Wanda and I, old school, we grab the Inquirer, we grab all the papers, and we look through the papers and stuff like that, and we see
articles,
how people make commitments and support issues, support things, and yet those things fall apart and no one holds them accountable. And so we thank you so much, Maurice. We want to move on to another caller. Wanda, you have something to say to Maurice before you leave? Hold on, Maurice, before you leave.
Maurice, thank you for calling in. And I have to say this to Andrea. You were just talking to your number one fan. Maurice absolutely loves and adores you, okay? If you told him to show up at 12 o'clock midnight, he would find a way. Do you hear me? And he would probably call me up and say, you better come too. So this man loves and appreciates everything that you do, everything that you stand for, and so many other people do. You have so many people behind you waiting to see where you land. They want to hear you, and they're looking for your guidance and help because so many people were used to being able to count on you. So hurry up. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Well, let me say this last thing.
Go ahead, Maurice.
Wanda Walker, mother, has been my lifeline since this has happened. She's the only one been able to keep me sane because I wanted to walk down there butt naked with a sign to say, bring her back. I'll let you know.
And trust me, he might do it. He might do it. He might do it, Andrea.
Thank you for saving us because I knew you would have done that.
Yes.
Maurice, the blind prophet, we're going to take some other phone calls. Is that okay?
Yes.
And you always got a home here, Maurice, on Mondays from 2 to 3. So please, you know, and you don't have no time restriction. We're not going to do 3 minutes, 2 minutes. That's nonsense. You know what I mean? We're going to do good conversation. And hold on, because I got some other people want to talk to Andrea. So I got a William on the line.
Yes, hello.
Yes. Hey, William, how are you? Yes.
Hey, how's it going, Don?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. You know, it is great to hear from you. I really appreciate that.
Thank you for having me.
And so as a Republican in the city, because I know you from Southwest, you've done moving and you've done hauling and you've done cleanouts. And no one knows your story. You know what I mean? And I hope one day you'll come sit inside of the studio and share your story with us, man, because people don't understand that people who have a second chance in life are more focused sometimes. You know, it might take an incident to happen to get them focused. And you thought you would never see the outside again. And so, you know, I know you don't get up 5 o'clock in the morning listening to Andrea, but she has been a welcome to people. And they moved her because she was doing the daytime. She was like, you know, a daytime slot. And they moved her to morning, early morning. So, I mean, she had to get up 4 o'clock to be at work at 5. So it's at some point in time when she's laying, I want you to be able to share your story with her.
Wonderful.
And you know, I got Wanda here, so she said this is
hello,
the major mover.
Hey, Miss Wanda, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. Thanks for calling in.
It must be a great beacon of light because he always speaks so highly of you.
Thank you. I try to be like a Maurice and an Andrea sort of combined.
So well, look, man, thank you for calling. I appreciate
it. They make good disciples.
I know that's right. There you go.
And Prince has been a great addition to my life.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for that, brother.
Mm-hmm. No
His
problem.
Consistency and for change.
Exactly. And for
better. Of change, information, mm-hmm. and
common sense.
Yes, that as well.
It's enough for everybody. That's my mantra. It's enough for everybody. Everybody should be at the table, not just you can extend the table for your friends and nobody else. So I'm going to let you go, Mr. Major, and I'm going to take another break. And when I come back, Miss Mary's on the other line. Andrea, you got a few more moments to talk with Miss Mary?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Between business life, social life, and her best bud, Loki, Beverly has a lot to focus on, especially while fighting Stargardt, a blinding retinal disease that starts during childhood and gets worse over time. But despite her vision loss, she's hopeful because she knows she's not fighting alone. For 50 years, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has funded research into treatments and cures for blinding diseases, providing real hope to those fighting vision loss. And our nationwide community of local chapters provides networking and support for people with vision loss, as well as their loved ones. Because the best way to fight against blinding diseases is to fight together. And for Beverly, winning the fight means focusing on what's closest to her. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Learn more about how you can help us end blinding diseases at fightingblindness.org.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away.
Okay, we're back on the mic, and we have Miss Mary from Mount Airy. How are you, Miss Mary?
I'm fine, Wanda. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Now, we're not going to call you from Mount Airy no more. On this show right here, you, Miss Mary, our prophet, too, our prophetess, too. So we ain't going to use that other station name. But you on with not just Wanda, not just Prince, but also Andrea.
Yes, that's why I called, because I'm happy to hear that Andrea and her family is doing well. But you know what I learned from Andrea, because she doesn't leave any place that she's not going to try to make a positive change.
Mm.
For anyone, you know, and I know that she's leaving the other radio station making a positive change because she doesn't want the same thing to happen to anyone else, you know, and that's the way I've always lived my life. Even sometimes, I think sometimes you're used as a vessel to do things by yourself. Yeah. And you know, I see a lot of things that need to be changed at the other radio station. You know, and for people to have that attitude like, I'm not going to allow certain changes to be made. I'm the top person. You know, everybody is trying to make sure that radio station is in place for several years, hundreds of years, if need be, you know, and to have anyone to try to tear it down based on, I want to be top honcho, you know, we cannot allow that.
Amen.
And if the policy is not in place, then you're going to make sure that they have it in place, in writing.
Are we going to move on? Because sometimes people are stuck in their ways. And I've always been a proponent to say, if someone didn't do anything to you and you've done wrong by them, then you would do other people the same way. And so I don't give you a second chance.
Exactly.
To do me wrong. So what are the two questions you would like to ask Andrea?
You know, like I said, I basically know from listening to Andrea for a long period of time, and everything that she has brought on the air have benefited not only me, but other listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So I know she's doing the correct thing. So it's nothing that I can ask her that I know she's going to fight for whatever change that's necessary wherever she goes. And she always have our backs as black people and everybody, the way that she runs herself, everybody she has in mind. You know, she look at the human nature of a person, not the color of their skin. And that's why I love her. I really love her for that.
Thank you, Miss Mary.
And I
appreciate
love you
it.
Back, Miss Mary.
There we go,
Andrea.
They all love Miss Mary.
Thank you.
I'm going to let you go, Miss Mary. Thank you so much. Like I always say, you have a home here. Miss Mary, hold on before you leave, though. Are we rolling or are we passing?
Oh, you know I'm always rolling.
All right. Andrea,
all right.
Thank you very much. So, Andrea, let me, before I turn you over to Wanda, you and Wanda can have a dialogue. I want to thank you and congratulate you for your award, for your Philly Seeds Award.
Thank you.
I think the Housing Authority had given you that award, and also they had given the mayor. Now, I was against 47 going back to work, despite of everybody else. And like you and I, you have to do, when you put it out there to the universe, it comes back. And so there's a few questions that I like to ask the mayor. I don't know, but I know, because the resources I have tell me, and I think that they're true. And plus, you know, you get what you inspect, not what you expect. So do you know that the Office of Economic Opportunity has retrofitted the mayor's office for her to bring her son and stay with her son while she just made these women go back to work? Do you know that the security guard who was with her, both at work and not at work, makes $100,000 a year?
No, did not know that.
Right. So when people talk about that journalist stuff and you only want to talk about stuff but you don't want to tell your friends, that's not journalism. She's public knowledge. And so I get this phone call and I say, well, I got to tell people, you need to investigate this. Don't just have me talk about it. I'm not going to bring nothing on the air that I ain't sure about. But look at the budget. How does a security guard make six figures? What's that relationship?
And how so what are you intimating, friends? Because I know you don't ask questions without having a thought in your head.
I think that everyone from 47, every single mom should take a chance and an opportunity and go find out the grant money that came from the Office of Economic Opportunity that paid for her child to be brought there and hang with mommy at the office in a play area that was grant funded. And she making everybody else put their kids somewhere else and go back to work. The same play area she has that was built in that office, the mayor's office, is the same play area that people had at their house for their child.
Can I pose this to you?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
So the question that I'm posing to you is, as the mayor of the city, you know, I don't have a dog in the fight anywhere, right, but I always try to look and see where I see, right? So as the mayor of the city of Philadelphia, she does not get to work an 8-to-5 or a 9-to-5. She's on call almost 24 hours a day. Would it make sense for her to have a space for her son to be?
And that's why we love you. Based on what you just said, that's why we love you. But tell me what mother that's not on call 24 hours a day for a kid that age?
Right.
And you just made them go back to work. You make six figures or better. You run this city and you are doing things. It's a difference in the leisure of doing things and doing things because you are in poverty. It's two different ways. You know, I can have someone pick my son up from school in a nice luxury car without it getting into an accident, without them being irresponsible. But I can't have a baby daddy who I got to hunt down and expect him to go to daycare and pick my kid up when he's been irresponsible since we've had this kid.
So tell me what you think the solution is in all of this. Well, could it be both and? I've always said to you, both and, right? We can have it this way and have it that way, too. So what do you think the answer would be for the people who are working in
You should have let him stay at home. You should have let him stay at home.
You want them to stay at home.
I want them to stay at home because by right, you know, we need some of these parents to be able to touch these kids and let them know the difference between good and bad at an early age, since they're already focused on our kids at an early age. And so like all good hosts, I want to give part of this program to Wanda because Wanda has kids, or she had kids, or they're old enough now, you know. And so Wanda, you take this off my hand, please.
I have three grown kids, and I had them in marriage and was divorced after 10 years. and was left mm-hmm. with having to raise a 1, a 6, and a 7-year-old practically mm-hmm. by myself. It doesn't get any harder than that. I still say they should go home. Yes, it should be. Mm-hmm. The workers should go back to work. I hear what Prince is saying. That's not a good mm-hmm. optics, as we call it. I hear what mm-hmm. you're saying, because she mm-hmm. doesn't work a traditional 9-to-5. So when she gets called mm-hmm. in, or she wants to be one of those workaholics like myself, you don't want to mm-hmm. hear later on, like I heard hear from my kids, you were working all the time.
And ignored them, yeah.
Right. So that I do understand. However, in this information or the completion of this could not have come at a worse time. And so mm-hmm. therefore, with the position she has, what did the other mayors do, number one? Number two, and you can always have a nanny, you know, but mm-hmm. the fact that she wants to have a place for her son to come in mm-hmm. shows her level of commitment to motherhood, which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. However, mm-hmm. how much did it cost me in taxes? Would be my question, because Philadelphia pays the most taxes. I'm not making mm-hmm. this up, than any other city. And mm-hmm. I would argue that we pay the highest taxes because our mm-hmm. medium income is so low. You cannot compare us with other cities like California, who has higher taxes, but their medium mm-hmm. income is at $68,000, $69,000. Ours is only mm-hmm. at $35,000. So mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying. But when it starts being our money, then I'm not mm-hmm. really okay with it. And when you say a fund, Prince, do you know how much money? Because then that's where I draw the line. What amount of money are you talking about? But this is the same thing. What's his name? The mayor did the whole weight room for himself. You remember?
Right. They built a gym.
Yeah. Well, no, so exactly.
My thing is. We would fail to be good at what we do if we didn't encourage people to go, and you get what you inspect, not what you expect. You know, you can't get all the answers.
You want them to go research,
you
right.
You have to. Mm-hmm. You have to, because it's your tax dollars, it's your responsibility, it's your aunt and your sister and your mom that went back to work. And I'm not saying that I think you create a hostile environment where you superiorly built an infrastructure for yourself and then take my infrastructure away.
It did not come at the proper time. You're absolutely right. But if you say yes to this and it's not even in the contract, you open the door for a bunch of other departments to try this. We are the 6th largest city. I'll say it again. We are the number one poorest big city. We need everybody's hands on deck, so they need to come back to work. I would like to see a 6-7-day work week for the city of Philadelphia with part-time new workers, not making the workers that are already in place do any more than what they want to do or signed up for. But that would open up more jobs and get us back on point even quicker.
You hear that, Andrea? Yeah, my co-host is talking about.
Yes, we can work from like 9 to 1. So do you understand how hard it is to get something done in Philly when you're working 2 and 3 jobs to pay taxes? You have to take off and coordinate those jobs to get downtown only for them to play games with you at the kiosk, and it's a 3, 4, 5 day process.
So, Andrea, can I show you something? Can I be clear? So we understand the people who went back to work were not the richest people. The people who went back to work are the working poor. And you have 80% of those people who go back to work, lunchtime will step outside and play the lottery and get a scratch off before they would eat lunch. Some of them sacrifice lunch with the idea of winning mm-hmm. the big number. And so I worked at Family Court. I come downstairs. I used to eat at my desk, but every time I came downstairs, they smoked cigarettes and they played their lottery. And mm-hmm. so you are creating an economic infrastructure for a delusional approach mentally, because they've never won. Folks who worked at Family Court for 20 years have never won. And so we're going to take a quick break. And then on the other side, Andrea, Wanda Walker would like to talk with you a little bit about The Gamble That Failed, the book. Yes.
Okay. Eleanor steals your heart. She was diagnosed at 5 weeks old, a type of leukemia, and it's associated with Down syndrome. Being able to come to St. Jude was a blessing and the best place for her. Talking to the doctors and nurses, they were on top of it. they got this, we got this, it's gonna be okay, and we're gonna get through this. Here, it's like a celebration of life. There's so much great stuff happening. The doctors and nurses are her best friends, and you can tell that they love her, and you could tell she loves them, and that relationship is just amazing. We're just so grateful for them.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up.
Okay, Andre. How are you? I'm ready to talk about this book. I've read it. You read it. What are your takeaways from it? And I'll tell you mine.
So, the first thing that stuck out for me in the book was that they took someone who was a record music producer that was well known in the community, but had no business infrastructure to get the kinds of monies that he was getting to open up schools and do the kinds of things that he was doing. That's how, when I tell you that book had me riveted, it was like a whole of 97 pages long.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to realize, which is why I am someone who I'm very leery of politics and the way we treat certain people. They gave him a certain amount of freedom and left him to do the things that he was to do without putting the infrastructure in place for him to actually succeed at it, right? So when exactly. things started to fall apart the way that they did, it was no surprise to me. It really wasn't. And so I tell my people all the time, and Prince will tell you this, I've said this, it doesn't matter how many degrees you have. You've literally got to sit and inspect and ask the questions. And when the money is dangled in front of you, and I'm not saying that he did this, but for many of us, this is what has happened. The money is dangled in front of them. They don't know that they know they don't have the qualifications, and then they take the money, and then all of a sudden, mismanagement of this and mismanagement of that, and they kept feeding more money, and so it now led to this place where. One is going off to jail, you know, and I was told that he was sentenced last week and the judge said, you know, the prosecutor said, you know, this is what happens when you put somebody who was terrible and has had a really terrible life. And the judge says, no, he was okay. And he made another bad mistake. In our communities, Wanda, we don't get that second and third and fourth chance. You know what I'm saying? Where everybody else will get it. And so I warn people all the time, check your core values. I say it all the time.
Yes.
Are you honest? Are you filled with integrity? Do you know when to say no? Do you know when to say yes? Do you know, you understand what I'm saying?
But I totally understand. Yes,
because Wanda, as a people, because hold on one second, my sister, because I'm loving this, Prince. I'm just loving this because I love having these conversations. As a people, we have been so maligned and pushed off to the side so much that oftentimes when we get a little bit of extra power or a little bit of extra attention and our egos are boosted, we find ourselves in places even when our gut instinct says this is not going to turn out well. This is just not going to turn out well. I'm going to get the special treatment at the salon. I'm going to get the special treatment when I show up to places. I'm going to see all of these things. I'm doing a luncheon on Sunday, the 28th. I thought there were going to be 20 women, 250 women signed up, and I have a waiting list of 174. And everybody was shocked when I said, there will be no table reserved. It's open seating. I'm not doing the muckety-muck thing. Wherever you want to sit, you sit. Right? Everybody's going to be treated well. There'll be no special treatment because you're the king of England or because we have to learn how to get back to that place where we just love on each other simply because so that people don't feel like they have to borrow, kill, steal, and do anything that they need to do to be seen as powerful or okay. to be seen as someone in society. We are all someone in this society, all of us.
Now, with the book, The Philadelphia Roulette, and the statement that you just made, someone in the music industry got to control our schools, and you have to know when to say no, and that's the problem. And when it's our people, they don't get a second chance. And I'm okay with that, because when it's our people, I'm expecting you not to do the very thing you complain about that other people do to us. So when you go in there and do exactly what the other people do and worse, then you deserve just what you get when the feds come for you or whatever. Because your obligation should be to the community and those children. And this is a city of contracts and everything else and nepotism. And there's another very good book to read. Brent Mendel, who was on the, he worked in the sheriff's office. And I think he also worked in the controller's office. He also ran for city council at large. And he wrote a book, Philadelphia, Corrupt and Consenting. I keep it in my car. I keep it on my kitchen table. It gives all the tea, the tapes, and everything about how corrupt Philadelphia is. And that is the problem. So if we grow up in our communities, and I'm from West Philly, and we see the things happening, how do we end up running for office and allowing the same thing to happen? And Andrea, it's because of you that I started listening to the other radio station. And when you moved, do you remember I actually got on the radio station? I said, I don't like these changes y'all are making.
Yes,
and I said,
yes,
you better not move Andrea. I said it right on the radio. And then the next few days, you're moved, and I was pissed. That was like the highlight of my day. You know, your show, thank God they have Peterson. While we're talking about it, I want to tell you what I got from Andrea in a little bit of time that I had been listening. Because although I had been a member for a few years and donated my money, I didn't start listening until about 2 months before Charles Ellis had to be removed. Because I'm always working. You know me. I don't stay still. And with Andrea, I feel the love. I saw how she was always helping people. But what I love, love, love about you, Andrea, if by chance you happen to say or do something on your show and it's your show, you are so nice to people, number one. You don't cut them off. You let them talk, even when they're saying something smart. But if you find out new information, you'll come back and say, I made a mistake. I was wrong. Yes, you will.
Yes.
And you will say thank you to the person that's giving you the information. You know, and that's why I always stayed in touch, because I'm listening. If I hear something, I'm like, okay, cool. You're just a beautiful person. This book, thank you, like you said, we don't get a second chance, and our leaders don't get a second chance. And in my book, you shouldn't get a second chance. We're already 400 years behind. You know what it's hitting for, and when you step up, you can't do what other people do. You know that it's about the children, the community, the generational wealth. Yeah. It's not supposed to be a lifetime hustle for you, black politician. It's supposed to be about you getting in that position and doing some good, protecting us, not setting up your pension and everything else. It's a civic duty, not a lifetime hustle. I can't wait till they bring term limits. And I would love to be able to tell voters, all voters, don't you even guarantee or tell anybody which way you're voting unless they guarantee that they're going to put term limits on the ballot. Because this has to stop.
You know what, Andrea? There were a few things in that book that I pointed out. One was that there was a $1.6 billion portfolio. All he had to do was build it. All he had to do was build it. Because you would have buildings that are standing, apartment buildings that are existing, and you could increase your salary, increase your raise. You didn't have to. And look at what he lost it on, Andrea. Traveling with women, being married, spending money at gyms, leasing luxury cars. You would have thought that he was 25 or 26 years old. So, Andrea, the last 2 minutes is yours. You can talk to our audience, talk to our listening audience, talk to us, breathe some air into us. But the last two is all yours.
So, I've learned a lot of lessons in these last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
What I learned more than anything else is my mother was absolutely right. Mm. It doesn't matter how many degrees you have or how much money you have. It truly matters how you treat people. Right? And I have noticed in this city that we want to be loved. We want to be seen and heard. And it doesn't take much to do that. Prince, you can do it. Wanda, you can do it. I can do it. And if all of us, we are who we're waiting for. I've said this over and again. If all of us did our own little part, this city would be in a much better place.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so, for all of you that are listening, remember this. It is not what you say. It is absolutely what you do. And take a breath. Take a breath before you rush into judgment. Take a breath before you tell people where they need to go step off from. Take a breath. Because all the things that have been pushed into our faces has left us short with a short temper and a short fuse. Give grace if you want to accept grace from people, if you're expecting grace from people. And I'm telling you, it is not the one at the top that's creating the difference. It's the one in the community, down at the bottom where nobody's paying attention to.
Exactly.
That's making all the difference. And the people who are afraid of the people who are in the community doing the work will do everything to make us feel like we don't have any hope, that we shouldn't bother to vote, that we shouldn't do all the things that we know could change our lives in a miraculous way. We have 4 months now to decide, and you all know I never tell anybody who to vote for. You have 4 months to decide what your life is going to look like for the next 20 years. And I mean that with every fiber of my being.
Awesome.
And so I need us to not be so distracted and to spend our time now planning what we're going to be doing moving forward. I want to thank you, Prince. My kindness to you over the years,
that
is your kindness to me when it mattered. And so I want to thank you so much for having me on your show. You can tell everybody this is the first interview since that foolishness broke out that I've done.
You know, they're still calling.
And
we just had to hang up on the call. Thank you so much, Andrea.
May
you
have a
continued day. Yes.
You are welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Sometimes there's no exception to the rule. Beyond the sky, it's been a long time coming, but I know.